We are here to share with you from the Book of Philippians.
The Book of Philippians and the four chapters out of Philippians, some of the most quoted quotes in the Bible.
that's what we do with but quotes. You quote them.
That's right.
It is. There's some amazing things that come out of this book.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting book to me. I've actually been spending a little while just thinking about it and just trying to get Paul's heart. Why did he write this? It's a different book to others. You sort of imagine like Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, Galatians. They're all the same, but they're not the same.
No, they're very subtly different.
And there's differences because of who he's writing to and the relationship he had with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, for instance, he knew the Philippian church. He knew the people here. He'd been there. He's part of the church. You might remember the story in the book of Acts where he actually ended up at this church, or, you know, at Philippi, where the church was started, through a vision. There's a man in Macedonia say, come over here and help. And Paul's like, that's where we need to go. So they went over there. They were doing pretty good. And then Paul decided to cast a demon out of a slave girl. And they ended up in prison, his feet in stocks. And you remember the story, Paul and Silas in prison, singing hymns to God in the middle of the night with their feet there,
and
God, you know, and I loved, you know, the old classic, you know, story. My father-in-law used to tell me, you know, the story. Paul was singing and Silas was singing, and then God started to sing because God's got bass, and he shook the prison.
Shook the wood, and out they came.
Because you know, when you're singing, God gets involved, it gets good. Anyway, this church had background that Paul was very much a part of, its founding. Knew them, and they were really good. They were one of the greatest churches in sending financial support.
Yes.
Book of Corinthians actually says they, out of their poverty, they would give. This was not a rich church, but out of their poverty, they would take offerings and they would send it out to help Paul so that he could get the job done. And there was one time when Paul was working as a tent maker. It was an offering that came from this church that released him from being able to do that so he could go full-time into sharing and every day.
And he spends a lot of Philippians doing that, just thanking the Philippians for their contribution.
Yeah. Mm. And we get into chapter 4, you'll find he actually talks a lot about finances. Because of that, they had a church. They were a church that gave. So it's Epaphroditus was one of the members of the church that was tasked with taking the offering over to Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Paul's sending him back. But when Epaphroditus is there, he's telling Paul how things are going in the church.
Yeah.
And how it's all happening. And, you know, he's interested. He knows these people. And the report comes back that causes Paul some concern. This is a good church.
Yeah.
These are good people. But not everything's good amongst them. And I want us to look at this, that he writes with a concern about the strife that is working into these people. And he's like, oh, this is not right. But when he writes to them, he doesn't come like an apostle. I'm going to fix you up. I'm going to fix your theology. I'm going to correct you. He actually, this is one of the few books of the Bible, the few of the letters that came from Paul, where he actually, in his opening remarks, does not refer to himself as an apostle.
Yes.
He does not say, I'm the apostle. He does it in just about every other letter. But on purpose, I believe, because he was not coming to them as the apostle to correct.
No, no.
He was actually saying, I'm a brother here. I'm with you guys. And this is for me. This is something that I think shaped what he was doing. Paul, this is how I understand. Sometimes when Paul is dealing with something, he doesn't hit it straight away. He talks about things. Mm. He sows a little seed. He doesn't. And then eventually he says something and say, this is what you were getting to the whole time.
Yeah,
He's actually pretty wily, is old Paul.
He
knows how to get to somewhere without sort of...
He weaves a bit of a tapestry. He doesn't just go straight to the point.
I believe...
He caresses people into
sort of moves them to a position, then bang.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it said that, you know, the person who, I used to know a preacher who says, I'll make you smile so that when I punch you in the mouth, I don't split your lips.
It's not you.
Sometimes I just get you on side and then bang. I believe in chapter 4, verse 2, I'm taking that it might just seem like one verse, but to Paul, it was the burning issue that was really working in him.
Yeah.
And it says in verse 2, I urge Euodia, and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you to help these women who shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. In other words, now we don't know who this comrade is.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people take guesses when they don't name someone.
Yeah.
But they would have known, and he's like, I want you to help them to sort this out.
Yeah.
These women have shared my struggle with the gospel.
Yeah.
He said, these women are in strife. He says, I got to get them. I urge you, get in harmony. I urge the brothers, get around them, sort this out. And then he goes on and he says, oh, okay, yeah, it's just two verses.
Yeah.
But you've got to remember, these are very real people. And these are people that Paul obviously had a real affinity for. That sort of been part of what he was doing.
That's right.
And if you look at that and say, there's something not right in the Philippian church.
Mm.
There's strife, there's angst, there's agitation. Yeah, they're a good church. Yeah, they're an amazing church for the gospel.
Yeah.
But there's something not right in terms of the relationships.
The theme that sticks out for me is that he continues to stress the importance of living out the Christian life. And it starts with having a proper attitude and a proper approach. Because these, as we said when we were doing Colossians, these are real people to Paul. They're not just words. They're not just names in the Bible. They are real people with real personalities, and he's got real love for them. You know? And they were great. They were great contributors for him. So he doesn't want to hit them over the head with a stick too hard.
Yeah. You know? And he's trying to say, how can I bring you to this place?
Yeah.
This is what I saw. Do you know what? And this, you know, you can be in a great church and with great Christians doing a great work. Yeah. And I am. I love the people I work with. I love the church. I love what God is doing. But you know what? You know what's in the church? People.
People. Yeah, that's right.
People in the church.
People with personalities. People with personalities. Characters.
Sometimes you lose the sense of what you're doing because you get drawn into the conflict and the issues with people.
Yeah, yeah.
And you suddenly, they begin to become the angst. So everyone keeps going, but not quite right.
Yeah.
And there's issues and there's dissensions and there's problems. But we're all just, we're all Christians, so we keep going. I think Paul is addressing, saying, guys, in fact, if I can read to you a verse from 27, chapter 1.
Mm.
I think this is the summary of why he's writing Philippians. He says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, don't just do this because I'm coming.
Yeah.
Don't just put it all right because I could turn up.
Yeah.
Actually, this isn't, just get this right. I may hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit, one mind. Yeah. Striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents.
Yeah.
In other words, Paul's saying, listen, there's strife and there's pressure.
Yeah.
There's pressure and there's strife. And there's a chance that the Philippian church, as amazing as it is, could become ineffective.
Yeah, yeah.
Just surviving, just existing.
Losing its salt.
Losing its saltiness, losing its ability to really get the gospel going.
Yeah.
And it's because, and this is my words, the weariness of having to deal with people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm over people. Have you ever heard that? People I love God, but I'm not too keen on this church.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I've heard that. You know, I love Jesus, I'm just not real keen on the church.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, can I just say, if anyone came to me and said, I love you, but I'm not too keen on your wife, that's just not the right wise thing to say.
No.
You know, yeah, you're good, but your wife, she's a nasty pieces. What? That's my wife you're talking
exactly.
about. I chose her. I'm making her beautiful, and you are dissing her like that? No way. So, but that's sometimes the attitude that creeps in. Hey, I'm all good with you, Jesus.
Mm.
It's just working with the people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if it could just be me and the Word, and you know, some island somewhere where we could just get the job done. And God's like, no, that's not how it works. But there is that sense of And so the Philippian church is not a heavy, I'm going to teach you, it's a gentle working of example after example of what it means to lay aside your own issues.
Yeah.
And he and I
deal
and
with people in love. You
and
know?
I read through it and I want you to look for this. You can maybe make your own list as we're going. How many examples Paul gives of people who put aside their own concerns for the purpose of the gospel? And I know I've listed Paul used himself as an example. He used Jesus as the ultimate example. He used Timothy as an example. He used Epaphroditus as an example. He just, you listen to each one, but he doesn't just sort of say, oh, that's good or I'm good. He says, well, you know what I did? I put aside my own concern so that others would get the gospel. Yeah. And he said, Jesus left heaven so we could have the gospel.
Amen.
He said, these people. So he's stirring them up to say, you know what? It becomes wearing sometimes and you become agitated. Well, I'm asking you to listen to the book of Philippians and be just refreshed about what it actually means to serve Jesus and to love Jesus and to get the gospel out there and to say, you know what, Jesus, I can work with these people.
Amen.
Do you know what I mean? I can do this. I can do this. You know, Jesus gave me an example. Paul gave me an example. I can do this. I can take the attitude. So I want you to listen with that, like, we can get the job done.
Yeah,
we can do exactly. This. You know, because I'm more concerned with that the gospel getting out than I. Does it really matter that you know that they haven't done the right thing by me? Just listen for the example of Paul. He says in prison people were making hard for me. He said, you know what? As long as the gospel goes out.
That's it. That's it. And you would think anybody in prison would have a negative attitude, but he turns it into an advantage. And he tells about how he's preached to the guards and how Christ is even flowing in the prison. So he's always optimistic, always positive.
So listen to Philippians chapter 1, understanding that Paul is trying to get this church back to a place where they're in harmony again.
Yeah.
And with not just a harmony in getting the gospel forward. It's amazing. Paul's passion is always get this good news out. And he said, in Philippians chapter 1, listen for it. He said, I had the opportunity to check out. He said, oh, I was like, I could have gone to heaven.
Yeah.
He said, that's where I'm excited. He said, you know what? I didn't. I chose not to.
He felt responsibility.
He said, I wanted to be back here serving and ministering to you guys so we get this job. I love the fact he's in prison. He's going, what will I do next? The guards are like, excuse me.
That's right.
We're the ones holding the sword and the spear. Paul's like, I'm just talking to God about what's going to happen next.
Yeah, that's right.
Will I die here? Will I continue on?
Yeah.
God's, I think I'll continue on. but listen to it. It's his whole heart is, hey, I've got another round in me. Listen, he says, I'm ready for another round. How about you?
Yeah, how exactly, about you? Exactly.
So let's read chapter 1 of Philippians.
Okay, here we go.
Philippians. To all Christ's people at Philippi, with the presiding officers and assistants from Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ bless you and give you peace. Every recollection that I have of you is a cause for thankfulness to God. Always in every prayer that I offer for you all, my prayers are full of joy because of the share that you have had in spreading the good news from the first day that you received it until now. For of this I am confident, that he who began a good work in you will complete it in readiness for the day of Jesus Christ. And indeed I'm justified in feeling thus about you all, because you have a warm place in my heart, you who all, both in my imprisonment and in the work of defending and establishing the good news, shared my privilege with me. God will bear witness how I yearn over you all with the tenderness of Christ Jesus. And what I pray for you is this, that your love may grow yet stronger and stronger, with increasing knowledge and all discernment, until you are able to appreciate all moral distinctions. And I pray too that you may be kept pure and blameless against the day of Christ, bearing a rich harvest of that righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Brothers, I want you to realize that what has happened to me has actually served to forward the good news. It has become evident, not only to all the Imperial Guard, but to everyone else, that it is for Christ's sake that I am in chains. And besides this, most of our brothers have gained confidence in the Lord through my chains, and now venture with far greater freedom to speak of God's message fearlessly. It is true that some do proclaim the Christ out of jealousy and opposition, but there are others who proclaim him from goodwill. The latter do it from love for me, knowing that I have been appointed to plead the cause of the good news. The former spread the news of the Christ in a factious spirit, and not sincerely, thinking to add to the pain of my chains. But what of that? Only that in some way or other, either with assumed or with real earnestness, Christ is being made known, and at that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and through a rich supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, all this will make for my salvation. And this will fulfill my earnest expectation and hope that I shall have no cause for shame, but that with unfailing courage, now as hitherto, Christ will be honoured in my body, whether by my life or by my death. For to me, life is Christ and death is gain. But what if the life here in the body, if this brings me fruit from my labours? Then which to choose I cannot tell. I am sorely perplexed either way. My own desire is to depart to be with Christ, for this would be far better. But for your sakes, it may be more needful that I should still remain here in the body. Yes, I am confident that this is so, and therefore I am sure that I shall stay and stay near you all, to promote your progress and joy in the faith, so that when you once more have me among you, you in your union with Christ Jesus may find in me fresh cause for exultation. Under all circumstances, let your lives be worthy of the good news of the Christ, so that whether I come and see you, or whether I hear of your affairs at a distance, I may know that you are standing firm, animated by one spirit, and joining with one heart in a common struggle for the faith taught by the good news, without ever shrinking from your opponents. To them this will be a sign of their destruction and of your salvation, a sign from God. For on behalf of Christ, you have had the privilege granted you not only of trusting in him, but also of suffering on his behalf. You will be engaged in the same hard struggle as that which you once saw me waging, and which you hear that I am waging still.